Hi, it's Karen Webster for payments.com, and I'm here today with David Orme, who is the CEO of Bell ID. Hey, David, thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure.
So just a little context, Bell ID is a software company that has expertise in smart cards and mobile NFC payments, among other things. And what we're going to talk about today is the variety of interesting issues that are associated with payments today and payments moving to NFC, to the cloud, using tokenization and how all those things kind of wrap together. So, David, before we get into some of the details, what's Bell ID's interest in HCE?
Well, we feel we were one of the pioneers in HCE, and it's something that we had worked for a few years with BlackBerry, who'd had their own version of host card emulation working called software card emulation. And we always thought that it was a great way of overcoming some of the difficulties in the, should we say, in the more TSM world, the trusted service manager, the complexity of, having to deal with a mobile network operator, getting a bank and a mobile network operator to cooperate. We knew that it was, around about 18 months of integration work to stand up a TSM. So we really saw host card emulation as a better way, a quicker way, more flexible to, offer mobile payments to our issuer client base.
So are there vulnerabilities from your perspective? I know there are critics of HCE who have made a number of comments about what happens if cloud connectivity gets lost and other things. What are your concerns, if you have any?
Sure. I mean, again, we've talked to our issuer community about, security and connectivity. And their feedback to us is that, I think they see host card emulation as less complex, less costly. But there are also some security issues that, they need to mitigate against. And I think, let's be clear, there isn't anything more secure than, the SIM or an embedded secure element as the case in Apple Pay. So it's a piece of hardware. It's a tamper-proof, device. It comes with, as I was saying a moment ago, a complexity and a cost that I think many of our issuers, just simply can't overcome. So host card emulation with some risk, and I'm not saying those risks can't be overcome, is a more palatable and faster way to market. We've been working with them for many months to overcome the challenges of host card emulation. We think we've been successful. We're leveraging parts of certainly Android devices that allow us to securely store keys. We also secure the communications between our cloud server and the device. And I think, cloud could easily be a much misused term, because certainly when Bell ID talks about cloud, we want people to think of cloud as a secure server, either inside the issuer with all of the protection, that issuers are so good at deploying, or in fact it's inside a PCI compliant data center in a service provider, again, certified by MasterCard and Visa. And, let's not forget that the, all of the schemes have embraced host card emulation. They're at various degrees of completion with their specifications, but certainly all of them are very keen on host card emulation, and they're very supportive. And I think that's given our issuer community, the confidence, along with, the ease of deployment and the time to market. And they're balancing those thoughts against the security issues that, we're overcoming with them.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. There's no such thing as a perfect solution. And while, you know, HCE offers speed and less cost, I know there have been some concerns expressed about security vulnerabilities, especially since the Android ecosystem tends to be the target of a lot of malware, and the operating system itself could be a host for some malicious software that could interfere with payments. But you're saying that issuers don't feel as though that's a significant risk. Is that because you're doing something on your end to help manage it?
Yes, we are. And, you know, we've carefully assessed the security issues. We can mitigate against them. And but it's not a perfect solution. There's also, you know, we're fully compliant with the scheme mandates. So, you know, the single-use keys, for instance, that are mandated by MasterCard, you know, we're compliant with all those. So, you know, even if a token is compromised, then, you know, it's only got a single use and it's very limited value, certainly at the present time. We're also looking at things like white box cryptography, you know, code obfuscation, and many other things that I think can mitigate those risks. And I genuinely believe issuers are balancing those and saying, hey, you know, postcard emulation, yeah, there are some risks, but in terms of balancing it against, you know, the cost of doing other things, then, you know, we're still going ahead. And we're seeing hotspots of, you know, postcard emulation activity in Australia and New Zealand, in Italy, in Spain, in Scandinavia, in Canada, and the beginnings of interest in, you know, host card emulation. And I know, you know, there are mobile network operators very seriously looking at host card emulation. So, yeah, I think on balance, you know, the issuer demand is driving two things. It's driving the risk mitigation for host card emulation. The schemes are responding and providing mandates and specifications that help, you know, issuers overcome all of the security issues. And say many across the world, many of our issuers are looking at host card emulation as a, you know, very attractive proposition as an entry into mobile payments.
So, David, let me ask you to clarify two things. Talked about Apple Pay, of course. That is, you know, an enormous topic of conversation with respect to mobile payments. And Apple Pay is also, I guess, one of the first real commercial uses for the tokenization scheme that the networks have invested in as a framework for securing cardholder data and then transaction data. So you also used the word tokens. So help us understand how tokens in an HCE environment are different or maybe the same as tokens in the Apple Pay environment that we've all been reading about for the last couple of weeks.
Sure. So tokenization, token service provider, TSP, and token vaults, as you say, the hot subject. I mean, Apple Pay, I'd say, has been a massive endorsement of NFC technology. You know, it's been the thing we've all been waiting for. So, you know, again, for many of our issuer customers, that's been a big tick in the box. The NFC has been, you know, recognized by Apple Pay as the way to go. We're not dismissing other technologies, you know, low energy Bluetooth or QR code, but certainly Apple Pay has given a big boost to NFC. And then in terms of the way in which issuers are approaching tokenization, they obviously everyone's concerned about keeping the real card information secure, and that's contained in the inside the issuer or inside a PCI compliant vault, firewalled, you know, with many of the authentication processes that our users, our issuer and users, have multiple layers of protection to keep that, you know, data very secure and we want to leverage that in mobile payments. And I think that's what's driving tokenization to be, you know, the way to go. You're not exposing, you know, the real card data. You're either using limited use keys or single use keys that have been mandated by the schemes. You can, you know, provide tokens to do multi-channel. So you can have e-commerce or tokens for specific merchants. And you're keeping the real card data secure. So, you know, it's a great way. And I think, you know, it's really why issuers and the card schemes are looking so closely at tokenization. And Apple Pay, in fact, is, you know, based on tokenization, that it really helps them with the security. And that's why I think you've seen a proliferation in, you know, discussions, interest, activity, and deployments in tokenization. You know, we have our first real-life deployment in Italy. And, you know, we see many, many more and a pull from the markets in all of the hotspots that, you know, I mentioned earlier.
So, David, are you saying that an HCE environment in the Android operating system, that the scheme works almost identically in that there's the equivalent of a device account number that is a token and also the one-time use account number that's triggered when a transaction is being made? Is it the same identical process?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so the tokenization and detokenization and the fact then that, you know, we issuers can leverage the you know, existing host infrastructure, then, you know, that's definitely the way to go. And I don't see any changes really or differences between, you know, what the schemes are mandating and the way Apple Pay is going. I think it's the way the industry will go.
Interesting. And the TSPs in the Android HCE world, are they the networks? Are they the issuers? I know it's a combination of both in the Apple operating system. Is it the same sort of scheme in HCE and Android?
Well, you know, we tend to deal with individual issuers, you know, who may issue MasterCard and Visa and Amex or just one. And, you know, we ensure that the solution is compliant to each of their specifications for HCE. And as I say, in the case of MasterCard, it's a single-use key. And we make sure that the tokens are either available from us or from a third party. So I think you'll see, obviously, the schemes are pushing very hard, you know, the mobile data enablement services from MasterCard. I'm sure all of the schemes will be offering this as a service. And I think, you know, alongside them, we'll be offering tokenization, detokenization, and something to ensure that the bank's infrastructure, you know, to process those and clear them and, you know, the settlement, et cetera, will be done with the minimum of change to the existing infrastructure. So, I see Bell ID alongside other tokenization providers alongside the schemes.
It's really interesting how this phenomenon has really created lots of interesting possibilities around the use of tokens and tokenizations. And I've been talking to a lot of people about this, and it really does make this whole notion of, you know, Internet of Things, having the ability to embed payment in just about any connected device a lot easier and more secure because you have a framework for enabling that. It's really quite exciting. Let me ask you a question about consumers. I know you don't deal with consumers, but your customers do. Do consumers care about this stuff? Or are issuers just doing this because they obviously want to make sure, in a world where there's so much vulnerability because of being connected to the internet and the sophistication of cyber criminals, that they just want to protect their consumers before they ask about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for most consumers, your bank is, you know, very trusted. it's an entity that you regard, you know, highly. I certainly look at, you know, I've been with my bank many, many years, and I do trust them. I would love, and it's not available to me at the moment, but I would love to have payment enabled in my, you know, phone. I know it's coming. And I know many of my, you know, friends and colleagues and associates would love to have mobile payment and are waiting, you know, for their bank to be able to provide it. And in terms of, you know, the way, I think we're all anxious to see it, but I think it has to go beyond payment for the consumer. You know, things like transit, you know, the London Underground in the UK now also accepts contactless EMV payment, you know, in lieu of the Oyster card. We're building a NFC system for hotel room keys for one of our other partners, as they want to be able to offer, you know, consumers hotel room keys delivered over the air to their mobile devices, front door keys, you know, room keys. Certainly loyalty is another, you know, aspect that I think many consumers want on their device, the convenience of having it in the phone. It's just been such a long time coming. And I think, you know, for the issuers, the business case is challenging, especially when you've still got the costs of the plastic card. You know, that isn't going away anytime soon. And, you know, as an issuer, I guess, you know, it's about customer loyalty, customer retention, defense mechanism against, you know, others. And I know, you know, from many of the conversations with issuers, it is a tough business case. But I do feel at the same time that there is a pent-up demand, you know, from consumers. So I guess it's quite a tough situation for an issuer, you know, to balance those two, the cost and, you know, risk mitigation of host card emulation versus the, you know, the attrition in their customer base and, you know, balancing those, I think is still tough. But I'd say I do sense there is a pent-up demand for mobile payments, but it has to go beyond payment.
I would agree with you on both fronts. I think, you know, the one thing that's implicit in your comments about being tough for issuers is the regulatory environment, which particularly in Europe is quite uncertain at the moment, and in the UK, you know, particularly challenging and potentially even more so. And when you start to think about business cases and making investments and things like this, certainly that weighs heavily on what issuers are doing. But what do you see in terms of what issuers are looking at in terms of going beyond payment? Is it going beyond payment with other types of services, or is it going beyond payment with sort of security features wrapped around it? What are you seeing and hearing?
Yeah, I mean, many of our issuers, you know, they have a relationship with the customer through their mobile banking, you know, and there's authentication that goes on to verify, you know, that is the right customer and the right device. And many of our issuers are leveraging that, you know, to authenticate, should we say, the consumer. And I think what's interesting, many of our issuers beyond payment is loyalty, is definitely transit, because, you know, transit for many would drive daily use, you know, the journey to work, maybe the journey home, and maybe a meeting in between times. So, you know, transit's got a big appeal because, you know, it drives the daily use. And loyalty is certainly another big thing that, you know, our issuers are looking at. And I'd say, you know, the other thing, that it has to be easy to do for the consumer. So one of the appeals of Apple Pay, you know, is I think it's a relatively straightforward process for the consumer. And I think that has to be echoed in, you know, the Android world. It has to be easy for the consumer, you know, to adopt mobile payments, and then the other applications beyond mobile payment that, you know, that they want loyalty. Gift cards is another big area, you know, the ability to purchase a gift card, donate a gift card to a family member, say, or, you know, a parent to a student. That's another area we've seen a big demand for. And as I mentioned again, you know, hotel room keys for the hospitality and hospitality industry generally, you know, to be able to deliver a hotel room key to a mobile device and really to, you know, to speed up the convenience of, you know, walking into a hotel and leaving the hotel. That's a big, we've seen big investments in that area.
I was in a hotel 2 days ago, and they were piloting mobile check-in with something very similar to what you described. So it's definitely coming, but to your point, it requires investment, and I do agree that the real focus now, I think, on everyone's part will be the habituation to getting consumers using their mobile phones to do the things that they used to use cash or their plastic cards to do. And that will take time, but it certainly feels like 2014 is the year that things got very serious very quickly in mobile payments. Would you agree?
I couldn't agree more, you know, and as I said, the we're seeing hotspots all over the world, you know, in areas where there are existing, you know, TSMs, and but issuers just are put off by the cost and complexity, you know, and the time it takes. I think they're prepared to, you know, mitigate the risks that there are in host card emulation. They still want to go ahead. There's still demand from consumers for this. There is a tough business case, but, you know, we're seeing host card emulation blossom in Australia, in Italy and in Spain, you know, definitely Canada. I think virtually every major issue in Canada is, you know, going full steam ahead with something in host card emulation, and Scandinavia too. You know, we've two pilots in Latin America for host card emulation. You know, and I'd love to see, I know MasterCard mandated, you know, contactless point of sale now for Europe. You know, I'd love to see more investment in the infrastructure, because I think that's, you know, that's another factor that everyone has to bear in mind. You know, I get the contactless payment in my mobile. Where can I actually use it? And in places like Canada, for instance, a lot of the supermarkets, gas stations, you know, and grocery stores, etc., are equipped. You know, the coffee and donut shops are equipped, but, you know, there's some real differences across the globe in the infrastructure that's you know, around. So I'd love to see Visa and MasterCard you know, do more to promote contactless. You know, and I can imagine, listen, as a merchant as well, this must be tough, because, you know, if you've upgraded from, you know, Magstripe to EMV and now you're going contactless, you know, and maybe QR code, and then I guess, you know, there's some big investment decisions for them. But I really come back to, I think host card emulation is the answer. It is a quicker way to market. Yes, there are some things that, you know, you have to consider. Security is always, I think, the number one issue that comes up. Yes, it had to work for their applications as well. But I really endorse your feeling that, you know, this is the year and we'll see big things happen.
Well, it's been a pleasure to get your perspective on where you see the opportunity and what you're working to accomplish with your issuer clients. Look forward to touching base with you as the year closes and 2015 comes upon us and we see where this takes us. Thanks so much, David.
My pleasure, Helen. Thank you very much for your time.